This happened in the time of the Baal Shem Tov in the city of Vilna. That's where it starts anyway. There were two tailors. Now, there was another story that boys are remembering about two tailors in the time of the Alter Rebbe. This is a different story about two tailors. It's two different tailors in a different time. So please listen to this story about two different tailors. Shh. Okay, these two tailors, we could call them Reuven and Shimon because it's going to make it easier for you to understand what goes on, even though the story does not say their names. At first, Reuven had his little tailor store in one part of Vilna, and Shimon had his little tailor store in the other part. Now, who knows what a tailor does? What is the job of a tailor? He does something. Yes, what does he do?
He floats in boats.
He what?
He floats in boats.
I'm not sure if I understood that. Say it again.
He floats in boats.
He floats in boats. Now, I like that. He floats in boats. That's not... Oh, that's a sailor. Okay. A sailor. Now, well, maybe he thinks I'm talking Sephardic Hebrew. I'm saying tailor. And he talks Ashkenazi Hebrew and he says sailor. And so it's just a matter of, you know, how you pronounce it. So he would be right. But I'm not exactly doing that. Okay. Shh. Raise your hand. I want to give somebody a chance from a different class. Yes, here's a boy who looks like he really wants to say what's a tailor? A tailor with a T.
It sews stuff.
He sews stuff. Like what kind of stuff does he sew?
Shirts and pants.
Okay, he makes clothes. Very good. A tailor, he has a kind of a sewing machine with needles, with threads. And, you know, he sews stuff. And in those days, most of the clothes you did not buy ready-made in a store. You went to the tailor and you say, I need pants. So he takes material and he says, what kind of material do you want? Do you want stripy material or you want brown material or do you want heavy material? Shh. And you pick the material for the pants or for the jacket or for whatever. Now, just like there are different kinds of clothes, just like there are different kinds of clothes, there's different kinds of tailors. Some tailors make suits and fancier clothes or ladies' clothes, and other kinds of tailors make different kinds of clothes. Reuven made farmer clothes. Now, does a farmer dress the same as, let's say, a man in the city who, let's say, dresses up and he has, let's say, a business? No, they have different kinds of clothes. A farmer has to have strong kinds of clothes to go out in the field. Reuven made clothes for farmers. In a different part of Vilna, Shimon also made farmer clothes. And at first, each one had his little store. And then Reuven and Shimon met, and they found out that each one has, you know, a farmer's store, clothes for clothes. And they decided, instead of being each one for ourselves, let's join together and make one store, and both of us will help each other, and we'll be partners. And whoever needs farmer clothes will come to us, and we'll make the clothes, and we'll split the money. And they made farmer clothes in the store. Until the time went on, their families got bigger, and they were not making enough money in the store. So they decided they're going to pack up their sewing things and their needles and their threads, and they're going to pack up their talis and tefillin, and they're going to pack up their things, and they're going to go away from their families for a while or a long time and make money by traveling around, going from town to town, where the farmers are, and they're going to go far away from place to place and find more work, and they're going to save the money, and at the end of the time, they'll come back to their families because there just were not enough farmers coming to Vilna to buy farmer clothes. Shh. And so That's what they did. They say goodbye to their wives and their kitties. Bye, Tati! And they leave home, and now they go to the first town. They would meet the leader of the town, or the mayor, or the manager for the poritz, or whoever was in charge of the town. They would find a place to live, and they would find out where the farmers are, and they would make signs in the marketplace. Whoever wants to get farmer clothes, come to the two tailors. And they would get business, and they would make money, and when nobody else would come to them, they would pack up their stuff and move on. And they were going for a few weeks, and things were going pretty good, and they were going for a few months until they were away for a few years. I don't know if they came back at all to see their families during the few years, because they were so far away. And Kinalach, now they decided, since they were away a few years, and they so much wanted to go back to see their families, it's time to go home. But then they found out, very close by is one more town. And they decided they're going to go to just one more town, and they'll do their tailoring over there for the farmer clothes, and then they'll take their bag of money home to their families. And so they go to the town, and they ask, where is the leader of the town? And the people said, well, this town is owned by a poritz, and he has a manager, and he lives over there. And they go to the manager's house of the poritz, the yid who took care of the town and did things for the poritz in the town. And all of a sudden, as they get near the door, they hear crying, oy vey, oy vey, oy, I'm in big trouble, oy. And they hear a woman's voice, oh no, we have to pack our stuff and leave, where will we go? And the man's voice says, the poritz is so angry at me, oy vey, oy vey, he's going to kick us out of our house, we'll have no place to go, he's so angry, oh. Well, they didn't know what was going on, but the two tailors come over there. They knock on the door, and the manager of the town opens up the door. Who are you? We're two tailors. We would like to set up a little place to make farmer clothes, and we just wanted to know exactly, you know, which place might be available, like an apartment or something, or a little house. And we would like also to find out where the farmers live so we can go around and find work. And also where to hang up our signs. Shh. These two boys are making noise. This is a rhyme day. Floating in floats and boats and boys make noise. Floats and boats I like. Boys and noise I don't like. So let's not make noise. Shh. And the manager says, well, I tell you, I'm so upset right now. I can't even think straight. I'm in big trouble. And the two tailors say, well, listen, maybe we can help you. I mean, after all, we're all yidden. What can we do for you? Oh, I don't think you can help me. Oh, you said you're tailors? Oh, what kind of clothes do you make again? Oh, we make excellent farmer clothes. Strong farmer pants, strong farmer shirts, strong farmer jackets, strong farmer hats. The best. We're the best. The very best. Oh, you couldn't help me. What's wrong? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong. The poritz, who lives in the castle, which I'm his manager, pretty soon he's making a chasene for his daughter. She's getting married. Well, the girl wants to wear a beautiful, fancy, beautiful dress for a chasene, for her wedding. She wants to wear a beautiful gown. And of course, Lahavdil Yiddish Kalas also wear a beautiful, nice white gown, and it's a big covet for the Kala, who's like a queen, to wear a beautiful gown. But this girl who lives in the castle, who's the poritz's daughter, she wants the very fanciest, schmanciest, ungepatschket gown that anybody would ever have seen in their life. Of course, she wants it to be more fancy and schmancy than even the other poritz's daughters, because she wants to have a big, fancy, schmancy wedding. And the Peretz told me, because I'm his manager, to find a tailor to make her gown. And I went to the city to find a good tailor. And he came and he made an example, in other words, something to show his work. And he brought it to the castle, thinking that the Peretz and his daughter would like it because he's a very good tailor. And the girl came downstairs and she looked at it and she said, "Oh, I'm not going to wear a dress like that. That's not good enough." And the Peretz said, "No, it's not good enough. Why don't you bring a different tailor?" And he got very angry at me. Well, I went to a different city. Not just a town, I went to a city where they have these very excellent tailors. And I got a very, very good, expensive, excellent tailor. He came to the castle. He listened to what the girl wanted. He went to his tailor store and made a beautiful example of a gown. And he brought it to the castle. And the girl came downstairs and she looked at it and she said, "Oh, yuck, I wouldn't wear this for my wedding. I want a nice dress, Daddy. Daddy, what am I going to wear to my wedding? I'm not getting a nice dress for my wedding, Daddy." And the Peretz said, "That's right. Not good enough for you. We better find somebody else who could make you a good dress." And he says to the manager, "Listen, I gave you the job of finding a tailor, and you're not finding me a good enough tailor, and it's getting near to the wedding. I'm getting very angry." And Kinelach, the manager, had brought the best tailor around. He brought the best tailor in the whole area. And again, he brought a whole gown that he had just made for a different wedding from a different Peretz's daughter. That was a very beautiful, expensive gown. And the girl, when she saw it, she said, "Oh no, this dress is not good enough for me. I'm not going to wear such a thing. I need a better one." And this time the Peretz said to the manager, "If you don't find me a good enough tailor to make a good enough dress for my daughter that she'll be happy with, I will throw you and your family out of your house, and I am not going to let you have your job and no money, and I'm going to throw you out, or else I might get even more upset and I might even lock you up in my dungeon under the castle." And of course the manager said, "Oh no, oh no, oh no," because this Peretz was known to do such things. Kimir Tashem, kids, tomorrow, if it's a nice, quiet lunchroom, we'll continue with a very interesting, long story. And the two tailors looked at each other and they said, "Listen, maybe this is Hashkacha Pratis, that we have come at this time because we could also try to sew a beautiful gown for the Peretz's daughter." And the manager started to laugh and cry at the same time. "Are you kidding? You make farmer clothes. She's not going to wear farmer clothes to her wedding, is she? And I have found the best tailors that are expert in fancy schmancy clothes and women's dresses. And if they can't make a beautiful gown for the Peretz's daughter, how could you? I mean, farmers don't wear beautiful wedding gowns out in the field, and the girl is not going to wear farmer clothes to her wedding. So what are you talking about anyway?" And they said, "Look, we happen to be very, very good tailors. And just because we make farmer clothes doesn't mean that we can't make anything else. And also you see that no matter what you have done, and no matter which tailor you brought to the Peretz, he was not happy. So why don't you give us a try? You got nothing to lose. Just we'll go to the Peretz, and you'll introduce us, and we'll say that we wanted a chance. And if the Peretz gets upset, well, let him get upset at us anyway, and not you. You got nothing to lose. Do you have any other tailors that you've found?" No? Okay. So take us to the Peretz." And Kinelach, the manager, now takes the two tailors from Vilna to the castle of the Parets, the big beautiful castle on the hill. And, I mean, isn't every castle on a hill? They go up the big walkway, past the big gates, past the big doggies that are always outside of the Porritz's castle, and past the guards. And the guards recognize the manager, and they say, okay, you're here to see the Porritz? I heard the Porritz screaming this morning that you better bring a good tailor, Tim. I hope you have a good tailor. I see you have two tailors. Are these two tailors? The Porritz was really screaming loud this morning. You better get that dress for the Porritz's daughter or else. And the manager starts to shake. And the two tailors say, look, calm down. Hashem will help. And they go in now to the Porritz, this big, beautiful castle. And now they go into the room of the Porritz. Oh, it's you, the Porritz says. It's about time. These must be two tailors, right? Two expert tailors in wedding gowns, right? And the manager says, two tailors, yeah. Experts in wedding gowns, not exactly. And the Porritz starts to scream, what do you mean? Don't you know what you're supposed to do to get tailors for my daughter's wedding gown? I mean, isn't that what you brought me over here? Two tailors that are expert in wedding gowns? Not exactly wedding gowns, but farmer clothes. What do you mean farmer clothes? What is this, a joke or something? Should I throw you in the dungeon right now? These two tailors came to my house and I told them that I want to find an expert tailor for your daughter, and they said they want a chance. The Porritz said, I can't believe this. This must be a joke or a dream that you're bringing me farmer tailors. And the two men said, look, we are expert tailors, many years of experience. Please give us a chance. We think you'll be very happy. And the Porritz, as angry as he was, didn't have too much of a choice at this point. And he didn't really have any reason to throw anybody in the dungeon because, you know, he didn't see exactly what they're going to make for his daughter anyway. So he said, look, you go to your sewing things and you make some kind of an example or a sample of a wedding gown. And I'm warning you, each one that has been brought to me and my daughter, she's turned up her nose each time her nose goes higher and higher up in the air, and she says, yuck. And each time the yuck gets more and more of a yuck. So you better come up with something good, or who knows, maybe you'll also end up in the dungeon. And the two tailors said, okay, no problem. We'll be back this afternoon later. Shh. Be'ez Hashem. And the two tailors go to work, and they're sewing stuff. And they make, now kinalach, a sample of wedding gown, and they get lace, and they get buttons, and they get pink ribbons, or white ribbons, whatever color they had. Maybe they had orange and green and purple. Who knows what they wore in those days, the Porritz's daughters. And they got fancy schmancy this and fancy schmancy that, and shiny this and shiny that, and all kinds of fancy stuff that was shining and twinkling and sparkling. Shh. And ungepatschkit, and golden thread, and silver thread, and different stuff. I don't even know what they are. And now, comes time in the afternoon, they go back to the castle, and they go in now, and the Porritz's daughter is also there, and they have their thing inside of a bag. Nah, let's see it already. Let's see it. I'm so excited, I want to see it. And the Porritz says, well, I'm not so excited, because if this is something that we don't like, I know how angry I'm going to be. I'm in a bad mood today. I'm not in a good mood, I'm in a bad mood. And you know, when a Porritz gets in a bad mood, you better watch out. And now they take the thing that they made, the sample of the wedding gown, out of the bag. And the Porritz's daughter looks at it and she says, ooh, this is gorgeous. this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my whole life. I've never even seen by any other girl by her wedding that she wore such a beautiful thing. It's so fancy. It's so schmancy. This is sparkling, and it's so bright and nice and beautiful. And look at all these ungepatschke threads and bells and buttons and lace things and ribbons. Ooh, everybody's going to look at my gown, and they're going to think it's the most beautiful gown that they ever saw. And the other girls would be so jealous of me. And the poet looked at it, and he says, ooh, very nice. This is very good. Yeah, this is beautiful. And now, Kinilach, the poet says to the two tailors, look, you men are the right men for the job, but I'm telling you, it's getting close to the wedding, and there's a lot of work to do. So instead of you going back each time to your little place to work, bring your things here to the castle. I will give you a room in the castle, and you will work here on the wedding gown in the castle, and my daughter and I can come in whenever we want to see how it's going, and maybe she'll want to add some more fancy things or fancy ribbons or something, and that way she can see exactly what you're doing. And don't worry, I'll pay you very well for your work. And so Kinilach, the tailors, went back, and they schlepped their sewing stuff to the castle. Kinilach, the girl was so excited, she calls her mother. She says, Mommy, Mommy, you have to see the beautiful wedding gown the two tailors are making. And the Poritz, his wife, Mrs. Poritz, comes in, and she looks at it. Oh, this is a gorgeous wedding gown. And then she says to her husband, you know, I really don't have anything to wear to the wedding. And if our daughter is going to be wearing such a beautiful wedding gown, after all, I'm the mother, I also have to have something beautiful to wear. Maybe the two tailors will make me a dress too? And the poet says, well, okay, they can make also for you a beautiful wedding dress. And of course, Kinilach, these kind of wedding dresses are very expensive, but the poet was not lacking in money. He says, you know, I'll pay you for whatever I make you. And then the poet's daughter brings in her sisters to see. And all the girls are saying, oh, Daddy, it's so beautiful. We also want the tailors to make us dresses. Okay, make the dresses for the girls in the family. And then some of the poet's wife's friends come over. And, of course, she wants to show them the beautiful work. And then they say to their husbands, what are we going to wear to the wedding? If Mrs. Poritz has such a beautiful gown, we also want a nice thing to wear for the wedding. And Kinilach, you can imagine, the two tailors were busy and busy and busy with so many things. Finally, it came time to get paid, and the Poritz took a lot of money because he paid for each dress, or the neighbors or the Poritz's friends, they paid for the dresses. And now, Kinilach, the two tailors put all that money away, and they're getting ready to pack up their things to leave, to go back to their families. As we know, they've been away for years already. And then the poet says, you know, one last thing I'm going to do while you two tailors are here, because I'm so happy with your work. I threatened my manager to throw him out of the town, but since he found you and brought you to me, I am going to invite him to the castle to give him the good news that he can keep his job as my manager. And he sent some of his officers or his guards, and they called the manager, and he came to the castle. Of course, he was afraid. See, all of this time, he didn't exactly know what was going on with the two tailors. He thought maybe the Poritz is angry on them and then angry with him, and maybe he's going to throw him out of his house or in the dungeon, like he said. So he was all nervous, and he comes to the castle all sweating and nervous. And he thought maybe the Poritz has bad news for him. But he comes in, and he sees the Poritz with a big smile on his face. And not the kind of troublemaker smile that the Poritz has sometimes, but a nice smile. And the Poritz says, I want to thank you for bringing me the two excellent tailors, and you may keep your job. And a sigh of relief comes over the manager. Ah, Baruch Hashem. And he's about ready to go home. And the two tailors are about ready to go home. And they're all packed up with their things. When, all of a sudden, this is a long story, but it's not over yet. In fact, it's just beginning. The Poritz's wife says to her husband in a loud voice, I mean, her voice was loud anyway, you know, you see how happy the two tailors, the two Jews, became when the manager, also a Jew, was able to keep his job? You see how happy they were for him? And the Poritz says, yes, that's the way it is by Jews. A good thing happens to one Jew, other Jews get happy about it. That's the way it always is by them, I see. They're always happy for each other, or they're always worried for each other. Something about those Jews, they're all connected, you know. I don't understand it exactly, but, you know, that's the way it is by those Jews. Shh. And then the Poritz's wife says in a loud voice, well, these two tailors helped one Jew in trouble. What about the family in the dungeon? I wonder if they'll do something to help them. The Jewish family that's been in the dungeon for a few months. And of course, the two tailors are listening very closely. What are you talking about? What Jewish family in the dungeon for a few months? Well, the Poritz says, well, I don't know if they're interested in that. Oh, yes, tell us. Shh. Well, before this manager, there was a different manager and his family, and they had a farm. They lived on the farm, and besides being my manager, you know, they had their farm, but of course they had to pay me rent. And they were not able to pay me the rent. And I gave them chances, and I gave them time, and they still were not able to pay me the rent. And of course, I'm not going to let them go on without paying me the money. So I threatened, if they're not going to pay me the money by a certain time, that's the last chance. And he still did not give me the money. And I took him and his wife and his kids and the baby, and I put them under the castle in my dungeon. And they've been locked up there for a few months, and all they get is bread and water, and it's very cold and wet down there. Shh. And I will not let them out until the money is paid that they owe me. And Kinalach, one of the tailors right away says to the Poritz, how much money do they owe you? The Poritz says, 300 rubles, and they will not be let out of the dungeon until somebody pays me for them, or they come up with it, or their friends, or whoever, I don't care. I have to get 300 rubles. And of course, that was a big amount of money. Kinalach, right away, one of the tailors says to the other tailor, how much money do we have? And the other tailor says, look, that's so much money. We've been working for years to go back to our families to take money. I mean, how can we give so much money away? That's so much money. Don't even think about it. Don't even let it enter your mind. And the tailor says, the first tailor says, but wait a minute. There's a Jewish family in a dungeon with children, with a baby. I have to do something to help them. And he says, right now, I want to end the partnership. In other words, whatever we have, I want to divide now in half, and I want to see how much money I have. What is my part of the money? And they took their bag of money into the other room, and they counted it out, and it came out to exactly 600 rubles. Now, if you're going to divide 600 rubles into half, how much is the half going to be? How much? Can anybody figure it out in their head? How much?
300 golden rubles.
300 rubles. Is that right? half of 600 is 300. And the first tailor says, my part is 300 rubles. I'm going to give it to the pirates to get the Jewish family out of the dungeon. And the second tailor says, look, how can you do that? You'll have nothing to take back for your family, and you've been working for years. And the first tailor says, yeah, but how can I let a Jewish family stay in the dungeon?